Well, B just said I'm on, so I guess I better be. I'm Steve. You know, it was interesting this morning, or I woke up about 3:30 and didn't get back to sleep too much until after that. But one time when I was asleep, I dreamed that it was 9:05, and I was supposed to be up here preaching at 9, and I was just getting in the shower at my house. So hopefully what really happens through my preaching will be better.
Because that light puts half your head.
Does it give me a glow?
It gives you a glow. So I think it needs to, how's that? Not
Did I lose the glow, though? All right, thank you, B, I'm sure. Well, it's a joy to be with you folks. I've known Pastor Nick and Jeanette for probably about 30 years, and I love them to death. And I know Bea and Al and Sally and Jenny, and you folks are quality people. And I just have been looking forward to since the time that Gary asked me to speak, being back with you. And thank you also, maybe most of you don't know, but you support me as a missionary, and that helps as well. I just have a real fondness for this place. I've been at the pastor's prayer time a lot of times with Pastor Nick, and this is a good place. Oh, and some Christ Fest too. I've really enjoyed being here with you for those. But you know, my deepest love is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't he wonderful? It was such a joy to sing those songs this morning. I could have normally I don't sing a lot before I preach because I don't have a very strong voice, and if I sing, then anyway, I'm going to try and do a good job of both today. A friend of mine with Campus Crusade for Christ once told me when I was trying to get him to come to a prayer gathering, he just kept talking about Jesus. And I said, okay, you don't care as much about the prayer gathering as you care about Jesus. But why do you want to talk so much about Jesus? And Tom said, Steve, I just love Jesus so much, I can't shut up about him. And that's what I'm hopeful that you can get from me this morning, and all of us, we will just love Jesus so much and be in awe of him so much that we just plain cannot shut up about him, okay? As I talk about the Son this morning, sometimes I'll refer to him as Jesus. He is Jesus. He is the Savior. Sometimes I'll talk about him as Christ. He's the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Great King. Sometimes I'll talk about him as the Lord or the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, he is the Lord of all, the ruler, the Master, the Great One. As you can see in the bulletin, that my title is Christ is All. I oftentimes use that title or that name is the title of a message. In fact, when I sign my name on my emails, I say, Christ is all, then Steve Hall. Why do I do that? That comes from Colossians 3:11 that says, Christ is all and is in all. And to me, I have studied Christ for the last 35 years, and I just can't find any passage that summarizes who Christ is more than he is all. Amen? Amen. Christ is all. I'm going to give you a chance to say that in a little bit, so be ready. You know, what I think the Apostle Paul meant when he said Christ is all is that Christ is a circumference of everything. Christ surrounds everything. I'm going to read a few things that brings to my mind, and hopefully you'll get a bigger growing picture of what the Apostle Paul meant when he said Christ is all. Nothing and no one are outside of or beyond or before or after Christ. Everything in heaven and earth is contained by his hands, his lordship, his majesty, his rule, his greatness. He has always been Almighty God. He's always been with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. All things were created by him and for him. You know, as I'm reading those things, just something just kind of welling up within me. This isn't in my notes, but man, oh man. I think when we hear about the greatness, the wonder of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, our spirits ought to soar. You know, He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. The author and finisher of our faith. Apart from Him, you remember in John 15, 5, it says what? Apart from Him, we can do nothing. I'd go a little bit further than that, and I would say that apart from Him, we are nothing. The whole world is nothing. Jesus Christ is all. In Him, the fullness of the deity, as it says, and I believe in Hebrews, or the Godhead exists. He is Emmanuel, God with us. I remember the time that I tried to tell my children what Emmanuel, God with us, was. What a special moment. I think about the VBS. I hope that these young people understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly Emmanuel, God with us. He's the image of the invisible God. He is supreme over all, as it says in Colossians 1:18. He's a judge of the living and the dead. I was thinking last night when I was writing this, all the things that He is, and let me read a few of them, just a smidgen of them that came to my mind. He is all light, all glory, all wisdom, all joy, all peace, all mercy, all truth, all grace, all love, all provision, all forgiveness. In fact, it came to mind when I was writing this, Christ is all. Hallelujah. Put that one in your memory bank. Christ is all. In fact, how about if you say it with me after I'm going to give you a chance to say Christ is all. So on three. One, two, three. Christ is all. Often when I'm thinking about or talking about Christ, sort of like Jenny, a hymn or a song will come to mind. I wish I was as good of a singer as she or the lady that was leading our songs up here, and I would sing this for you, but I'm gonna read it for you. Have you heard the song Indescribable? Okay, I'm going to read that to you, and I hope this paints a better picture than I can of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. This is, I guess, the song, we're singing this to the Lord Jesus. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God, all powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim what? You are amazing, God. The next verse. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of light? None can fathom. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God, all-powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees and we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Okay, I'm going to go out of my comfort zone here. Let's sing that chorus. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God, all-powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you
are amazing, God.
Doesn't that feel good? And I praise the Father that His Son is beyond our ability to fully describe. We cannot contain Him or tame Him. I praise the Father that His Son is all of what we have said so far and more than we can ever imagine. I praise the Father that His Son was willing to come to earth to die on the cross, to reveal the Father and pay the price for us, that we might have eternal life with Him. The words of another song came when I was thinking about the wonders of who Christ is. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. That's what we're being done all morning this morning, and hopefully all the rest of our lives. We're coming back to an intimate love relationship with the One who is all. Listen to what the Apostle John says about Christ in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. All the Father is and has for us is contained in the One who is all, the only Son of the living God. I praise the Father and that His Son is sitting at His right hand right now, ever living to intercede for us. And one day, what's He going to do? Very soon, He's going to get up on a white horse. He's going to come with the heavenly hosts, eliminate all of the forces of evil forever, and establish His kingdom that we, who have given our lives to Him, are going to be a part of forever and ever and ever. I praise the Father that just like we did this morning, we can bask in all that He is, all that Jesus is, anytime we choose. Isn't that cool? One time when I was going through a really tough time, I made sure that before I went to bed at night, to sleep at night, I would praise the Lord. And the first thing I thought about in the morning would be praising the Lord. And it just has kind of risen up in me, I don't know, a special affinity to praise the Lord at all times. And I'm looking forward to the time when you and I, who have given our lives to Him, are going to be able to bask in Him moment by moment. Maybe there's millions of other people. Maybe there's billions of other people who are going to be in heaven. Let's start now. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. One of my favorite scripture passages that kind of gets me into the spirit of that basking in the Lord Jesus Christ moment by moment is Revelation 5. I'm going to read that for you now. Then I looked, this is John speaking, and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. I think that's 100 million angels up there. Isn't that going to be cool joining that chorus? They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, and all the people at Foster Presbyterian Church, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. We sang "Crown Him with Many Crowns" this morning, and I think what they're doing up in heaven and what we're going to be doing is kind of crown Him with many crowns to the max. I'm looking forward to that with y'all. One of the most significant teachings, I believe, of Jesus about his supremacy, his allness, is in Matthew 16. Remember the time when Jesus said to his disciples, who do the people around that we've been talking to and doing some miracles in the midst of, who do they say that I am? And the disciples said, well, some of them say that you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Some say you're Elijah or maybe Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus asked his disciples, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter jumped up, I imagine, the kind of a guy, kind of a dude he is, and said, I'm going to read it. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail. Peter, hopefully, and all of the other disciples knew without a doubt that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. He was the Christ. He was and is the Anointed One. He wasn't just a great Jewish leader who had come back from the dead. He was nothing less than the Son of the living God. Peter was certain, I believe, of a couple of things, and I'm sure many, many more led Peter to say that. One was what he had, I believe, heard Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave me, this is Jesus talking, I'm not me, but Jesus talking, for God so loved the world that he gave me that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have eternal life. Wouldn't you like to have heard that? Wouldn't that have caused you and me to believe that Jesus was in fact the Son of the living God? And there's another cool scene that I would love to have seen. Remember when Jesus was in the Jordan River, he went down and he sprang up and the dove came on him and the Father said, this is my Son, this is my boy, whom I love. In him I'm well pleased. So I believe that when Peter and all the other things, in fact, remember at the end of the book of John, when John says something like, I wrote a whole lot of good stuff about Jesus, but guess what? If all the volumes about Jesus were written, you couldn't contain them in the whole world. So I believe that Peter, when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he knew, he was convinced from the top of his crown to the bottom of his soul. And I would encourage us, in fact, I would ask us, are we as certain that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter was? Are we convinced that he is the whole Christ and nothing but the Christ? As we think more of Jesus' response to what Peter said in Matthew 16, where Jesus very clearly says that that is the foundation upon which he was going to and is building his church. I think we must make a commitment to the Father that we will do everything possible in our lives to know and be absolutely 100% convinced of all who the Christ, the Son of the living God, is. Another song that I believe rises up within me, well, I'll just say what it is, that greatly strengthens me, my belief that Jesus is the Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly leans on Jesus' name. On Christ, on Christ, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I encourage us, I encourage myself mostly, but I encourage us to stand on the one who is Christ, the solid rock. I want to be as devoted to Christ also as the Apostle Paul was. About 25 years ago, I was getting ready to lead a weekend prayer retreat for a group of singles for some church on some island. And the gal who was leading that came up to me with a little 3x5 card and said, "Here, Steve, you need this." And I thought, well, lady, who are you to tell me what I need? But fortunately, I'm a nicer person than that. And I smiled sweetly and said, "Well, thank you." But she was right. She was absolutely right. On that little card was the verse of my life, the most important verse that what has touched me most, and I hopefully has touched other people. It's Philippians 3:10 from the Amplified Version of the Bible. And I'm going to read this to you. And I really encourage you to let this sink into your spirit as I believe the process that we can come into an understanding of the greatness of Christ and an intimate love relationship with Him. The Apostle Paul says in the Amplified Version of Philippians 3:10, "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly." I got to read that again. "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, Christ, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly." I believe that Paul believed that the first and foremost purpose that God had created him for was to progressively, or moment by moment by moment, know all he possibly could of who Christ is, in his mind and in his heart, becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Christ, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the vast, not the little tiny small wonders, but the vast wonders of Christ, the Son of the living God. You've heard the term purpose-driven. I believe that Christ, to get to be purpose-driven, was person-driven. I think he was a radical person-driven man, and I want to be as radically person-driven, the person of Jesus Christ. You know, one thing about knowing more and more of Christ is that we want to know more of Christ. Does that make sense? And the more we know of Him, the more we love Him. The more we love Him, the more we want to submit to Him. The more we want to submit to Him, the more we worship Him. Just like we sang before today, we fall down on our knees before Him. The more we want to go tell it on the mountain, just like my friend Tom, and the more we cannot shut up about Him. And I believe, just like it said in Matthew 16, the more that we will build this church, the whole church, on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song after this, "Knowing You, Jesus." And I really believe that, and I want to give you a few things that have, over the last 35 years, helped me to know Jesus. Like it says in the song, "Knowing You, Jesus, knowing You, there is no greater thing. You're my all. You are the best. You are my righteousness. And I love You, Lord." Don't you want to just do that? Don't you want to know Jesus like that? I do mostly. I don't 100%. One time I was leading a prayer summit, and we were singing "All to Jesus, I Surrender." And another guy was saying, "I surrender some." He was the only honest. And if I were to tell you that I want to know Jesus with all of my heart, and I'm trying, I'm there. But at least if we are there, we're on the road to knowing Jesus, knowing more of Him. There's four keys that the Spirit has kind of put in my life over the last 35 years that I've been had a passion or a burden for Him. I'm going to share those with you quickly. One is that, have you heard of the guy named Charles Spurgeon? He was a great 19th century theologian in England. And something that I heard probably 10, 15 years ago, and maybe Nick's probably heard this and he's probably shared it with you, but Spurgeon said that in every passage of Scripture, there's a road to Christ. Has Nick ever said that to you? No? Oh, yes. Okay, well, all right, it doesn't have as much punch, but anyway, Nick is a very smart guy. He's very righteous and he's very biblically sound, so if he said it, then I can say it too, right? Okay. So when I go through the Bible, even Leviticus or Numbers or something like that, I believe that in some way every passage of Scripture, Old or New Testament, points to Christ, or is fulfilled by Him, or foretells Him, or gives us more insight into Him. About 10 years ago, my mentor, David Bryant, who you've probably also heard about, wrote a book called Christ is All. And in the back of that, there's an appendix with about 400 scripture passages that are key passages of the Word of God, you know, kind of the foundations of what we have grown up with. And I read every single one of them and meditated on it to try and understand how that pointed me to Christ. That took me about 4 years, or that took me a couple of years to go through that. But I would encourage you to start going through every scripture passage and just say, how does this give me a little more insight into Christ? Also, Spurgeon wrote something called The Treasuries of David. I don't know if you've heard about that, but that's the most exhausting commentary I have ever read on the Psalms. Spurgeon is really a smart, comprehensive guy, and a little passage in one psalm could take him several pages in tiny, minute, almost unreadable print to cover. And so I went through the first 119 psalms in a four-year period, and I was so in awe of Christ. Every paragraph, not every paragraph, but every psalm has something that points to Christ, and I would encourage you to do that. Another time that I went through the whole Bible, I started to looking for Christ. I started to notice pop-up names and attributes of God that are fulfilled in Christ. And I was, as I would, Genesis, Exodus, even Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua had a name or an attribute of Christ that was ultimately fulfilled in Him. And as I went to commentaries to understand what those names and attributes of Christ meant about Him, I just oftentimes would have to get on my knees. He's so wonderful. He's so great. He's so majestic. And a worship of, let's just say, bread of life would come. Jesus, I worship You that You are the bread of life. And then I'd start to, and I'd say, Jesus, help me to know more of You as the bread of life. Jesus, help me to know my family members and my neighbors to know You more as the bread of life. And you understand what I'm trying to say. I just found myself caught up in worship and adoration and really trying to mine in prayer all of what that could impact me and others. I wrote a little book, I Want to Know More of Christ, a daily devotional on His matchless names. In here there's, have you already seen this? Because Nick probably has preached all of these words. I just got to thinking, he's already preached this stuff. Anyway, well, I think it's cool. Anyway, I wrote this book. This is what I've been talking about. I want to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, as I found all these names and attributes of Christ, every one was more of, you know, a piece in a puzzle or a part of the portrait of who Christ is. And over the four-year process it took me to write it, it just really kind of cemented in me the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you're interested, you can ask me about it afterwards. I have 6 minutes. I'm going to speed read one of these for you. Can you speed listen? Okay. Okay, this is the radiance of God's glory from Hebrews 1, 1 to 4. Here's the scripture. Remember, you got to listen fast. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he had become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now here's a prayer. Let's close our eyes, okay? Except me. And we're praying this, dear Father, and this is about the radiance of God's glory. I bow before you, the God of glory, and before your Son, the radiance, the splendor, brightness, excellence, perfection, dazzling light of God's glory. I am deeply grateful that through Christ you fully answered Moses' request in Exodus 33:18. Now, show me your glory. I rejoice that the incarnate Christ, your magnificent glory, the full display of who you are, radiates to us, as John says in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among you. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to know all of the radiance of God's glory that I can. I pray that you will help me know more, much more of him, grow in my love relationship with him, experience the depths of his power and glory, and speak continually of him to many other believers. I join in the doxology found in Jude 1:24-25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before the ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Isn't it a joy to discover more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ moment by moment? The second of four ways that it has helped me to understand Christ more is just to worship him like we did before. I think we experienced this morning some of Psalm 22:3 that says, God inhabits the praise of his people. I so want to be inhabited by and inhabit the Lord Jesus Christ through entering his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The third of four ways that have helped me to know Christ more is by praying for his lordship of my life. Of the universe, to tell one another, tell your sweetheart, tell your kids, tell one another so that this place will be so inhabited with the joys and the wonders of Christ that it will flood out to the rest of the world. That's enough. I'm gonna close in prayer, okay? Christ. Wonderful, matchless Christ. You truly are the King of glory. As we've been talking about, you are all. Hallelujah, you are all. Would you please lift up any gates that have prevented you from coming into all your fullness in us, in our families, into this congregation, into Tukwila? And all of the state of Washington and the nation and the whole world, we bow down before you, beloved Son of God. We give you every part of our lives. Would you rule and reign in us? Would you inhabit our praise? May we burn with every fiber of our being to know you more and more and to make you known. All glory and honor and praise and dominion and majesty to you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.